welcome. I'm Patrick Campbell, Senior Editor of the Endocrinology Network, and for this episode of the Endocrine Outlook, you'll be hearing my conversation with Dr. Raymond Douglas, a world's leading expert on thyroid eye disease. Dr. Douglas, who practices at Cedar Sinai Medical Center, recently led a study examining trends in treatment of active to moderate to severe thyroid eye disease in the United States. While the study ended in 2018 and only collected data up until that point, which is before the FDA approval of teprotumumab, Dr. Raymond Douglas believes that the study contains information that can be incredibly useful and provides clinicians an overview of the current state of treatment of thyroid eye disease in America. Now, without further ado, here is my conversation with Dr. Raymond Douglas. Before we begin, would you mind giving my guests who may not be as familiar with you a brief background and introduction on who you are and sort of your expertise in thyroid eye disease?
Sure. So I'm Raymond Douglas, and so I direct the Thyroid Eye Disease and Orbit Center at Cedars-Sinai, but also have a private practice here in Beverly Hills. And so I've spent most of my career investigating thyroid eye disease and trying to figure out alternative treatments. I'm both a surgeon, but also do research to try to improve the disease process also. And so I've been very involved in the development of teprotumumab, both from a basic science point of view, but also from running the clinical trials, both the phase 2 and the phase 3 clinical trial that are out. So overall, that's a lot of my practice is devoted to patients with thyroid eye disease. So that is kind of my focus in career.
All right, thank you for that. And yeah, I don't think it's a stretch to say that you are probably the leading expert in thyroid eye disease in the world. So my first question, I guess, for you, based on this study, what were the biggest takeaways that you had when examining sort of the most recent data that you guys had on trends in treatment of thyroid eye disease?
Yeah. So one of the biggest is that we've really been able now to look at specifically treatment with Tepezza or teprotumumab and see that the vast majority of patients dramatically improve with this medication. And it's really been a game changer from the standpoint that it really takes this disease from the surgical realm to a medical realm, meaning that instead of patients requiring, you know, years of waiting and trying other medications that really don't reverse the disease, what's happened is that now the drug helps to reverse that disease without the need for surgery. And so those are the biggest takeaways. And what we're finding is that more and more physicians are becoming more aware of this treatment and also utilizing it more.
All right. Now, when we're looking at sort of the trends and treatments, let me take a step back, actually. When we're looking at the data from this study, most of it was done prior to 2018, sort of the information was pulled from a time period prior to 2018. What's sort of the prevalence of thyroid eye disease like in America? Is there enough physicians that are knowledgeable enough on this to treat patients, or are clinicians sort of few and far between when it comes to this?
Well, no, I think that, you know, it depends. You know, there's certainly adequate number of physicians, but I think that the general level of knowledge about the disease is what has to be increased and improved. What we find is that it's often split up between endocrinologists, oculoplastic surgeons, sometimes ophthalmologists. And so it's not a general lack of knowledge or lack of physicians. It's often sometimes the communication between those physicians. So I think that, you know, what's happened is that there's segmented knowledge with these various groups, and that the kind of the coordination is probably the key, and not the general lack of physicians who can do this work.
Okay, and now, when we're looking at prior to the approval of teprotumumab or Tepezza,
What were the most common treatment options that patients were opting for? Was it the surgery, or was it some of these eye drops that seemed to be the more popular route?
Yeah, so there really weren't many treatments. So it was kind of symptomatic improvement until patients reached a phase where they were deemed acceptable for surgery. So sometimes they'd try eye drops or supportive care or steroids, but really there was no great treatment that was available. And patients would usually wait until the disease became stable or not changing to undergo surgery. And then surgery always faced the risk of double vision or other issues that are associated with it.
Thank you for that. And now, when we look at sort of the surgery option, now that we have teprotumumab available to patients, where do these two options fit in with each other? Is it a thing where we're looking to get them to the point where they can have surgery, or is teprotumumab an option that would take care of this without the need for surgery?
Well, it's still a little unknown at this point in time. One of the things we're still trying to do is figure that out. The teprotumumab has been shown to decrease the proptosis and eye bulging and improve the double vision. That's quite comparable to surgery. It's not been compared head-to-head yet, so that data is still unknown. But it's really quite favorable and quite optimistic that hopefully this will take the place of a large majority of the surgery that's being done.
Good, thank you for that. Now, when we look at the results of this study specifically, you guys found that 55% of the reporting physicians diagnosed the patients themselves, but only 47% solely managed these patients. What does that tell us about sort of the need for a collaborative team effort to take care of this disease? And is that a positive sign to you that you see that two-thirds of these physicians are managing this disease with other specialists?
Yeah, I think it reinforces what I hear from patients, where they really want their physicians to collaborate and to talk about who's taking care of their thyroid, but who's also taking care of their eye disease, and having communications with their physicians. And I think that's what you're seeing in these results, is that very few physicians solely take care of this disease. Mainly, and I collaborate quite a bit with my endocrine colleagues, etc., because the management can be quite complex. So I think what we're seeing is more and more of a trend for that collaborative nature. And I think that's what this study starts to bear out.
Now, let me ask you, I couldn't find it anywhere in the results. Were patients more typically diagnosed by an endocrinologist or by an ophthalmologist for thyroid eye disease?
It's both, but in general, usually it's by an ophthalmologist who denotes the differences in the eye disease and can delineate it. But many times these patients first appear to their endocrinologist for their endocrine dysfunction. And then at that point in time, an endocrinologist may notice that there's differences in the eye and refer to an ophthalmologist for a specific diagnosis. So again, even the diagnosis becomes a collaborative process.
Right. And now, were there anything I noticed that you guys had pointed out that patients with moderate to severe thyroid eye disease had it for about 4 years on average, or 4.2 years on average? Is there anything about the time with the disease that we can sort of learn from this in terms of treatment course? Are patients getting treatment soon enough, or is this something that you would like to see brought down a bit before they receive treatment for thyroid eye disease? What do you learn when you look at the median time with disease?
Yeah, I think that that's going to be kind of like a watershed moment now. Because before, patients really had to wait several years before they could undergo surgical treatment. And now, with the introduction of teprotumumab, I think that treatment is going to be much faster. So I think in 5 years, if we did the same study, the treatment will be much, much sooner from the onset of thyroid eye disease to receive treatment than it was during this study. And so I think we're really kind of seeing the transition from a more surgical approach, a watch, wait, and then do surgery, to a more proactive approach eventually with Tepezza.
That sounds like great news for patients. And now one of the other questions I had for you about this patient population, it seems like for the most part, baseline characteristics were pretty similar, but I know you guys noted that patients with more severe disease were more likely to be smokers. Is there any sort of correlation you can draw between that other than possibly the effect of smoking on inflammation in the body?
Yeah, and that correlation has been noted for some years, and there's some basic science evidence demonstrating that smoke certainly increases the inflammatory potential of cells, especially in the orbital area. So I think what we're seeing there is a correlation that has been noted in the past, but certainly even much more prominently in this study, especially seeing that severity.
All right, thank you for that. And now I have to ask you, since this study, well, most of the analysis was performed before the approval of teprotumumab, is there currently any ongoing studies, or do you have any idea of how sort of the treatment trends have shifted since that approval, even though it was just very recently?
Well, only anecdotal. We are planning additional studies to really investigate that specifically, because I think that the more knowledge and the more collaborative knowledge now as far as who's prescribing teprotumumab or initial treatments, the collaborative approach will be really critical to shortening that time or that delay to treatment that we saw in this study. So right now, I think those studies are gearing up now that we have an introduction of a medication that people are becoming more comfortable with. And I think you'll see those very soon, and hopefully demonstrating a much, you know, faster onset for treatment.
Now, just staying on the topic of teprotumumab, when we look at sort of the other options that people went to for symptom relief of thyroid eye disease in this study, does teprotumumab eliminate the need for them? I know you touched on its relationship in conjunction with surgery, but will we see a drastic drop in the rest of, say, topical therapies or use of oral glucocorticoids for this disease as a result of teprotumumab?
Yeah, I think you'll see a dramatic reduction in oral glucocorticoids, because that'll those medications have largely been shown not to be effective except for, you know, mild symptomatic relief. So I think what you're going to see is a dramatic shift away from that. Topicals and eye drops probably still remain, especially for dry eye, because they do offer some temporary relief and are helpful. They don't really change the course of the disease, but I think the biggest effect you'll see is that steroids will largely go away from the treatment, except for just short-term durations.
All right, thank you for that. And now, just lastly, or one of my last couple questions for you. Since the approval of teprotumumab, I have noticed that thyroid eye disease seems to be a bit more talked about now that there is an official treatment option for it. Have you noticed sort of any change in patients' knowledge of their disease recently? Or has it been about the same since you've begun practicing?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because now patients feel that they can actually proactively inquire about the disease, consider treatments that are non-surgical. And so I think that it's really been incredibly exciting in patient forums, patient groups, really talking about the medicine, understanding more about the medication, but also more about the disease. It's also significantly raised awareness for physicians too now, much more aware of the disease than prior, because now it's no longer, well, there's nothing we can do, you know, but now we can understand the potential mechanism for the disease, but also potential treatment for many of these patients.
Right. In your study, you guys sort of touch on at the end that the results reinforce that moderate to severe thyroid eye disease is difficult to treat and represents an unmet medical need. Now, teprotumumab obviously meets part of that. What are the remaining steps that need to go into place for thyroid eye disease to sort of have adequate treatment and adequate treatment options for patients?
Yeah. So, you know, the studies have certainly demonstrated that patients with early disease have a significant benefit, you know, from teprotumumab. And And now there are emerging studies that the longevity of that appears to be very positive, that you know, this is a treatment that lasts for a very long period of time. We also have new evidence and emerging publications that the treatment in the chronic phase or later stage disease may be very effective too. So I think in the next year or two, we're going to understand the full window of opportunity for treatment for patients, depending upon when they were diagnosed. So I think that'll be the exciting area.
That was about it on my questions. Was there anything else you wanted to add sort of about the current state of thyroid eye disease in America? Well, actually, before I let you go, let me ask, it's a relevant question for everybody now. How has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted life for patients with thyroid eye disease? I have to imagine that it possibly delayed surgeries, it was harder to see patients. What was it like for patients with thyroid eye disease and for you as their clinician?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think delaying follow-up, delaying ongoing care has been the hardest part. We've adapted, and I've been using video and video screenings for quite some time now to improve that and to make that a difference there. And we've relied upon that more. And what we found is that we can really accurately diagnose and follow patients via the interactions we're having here with Zoom and with other media platforms like that. So I think that it's allowed us to bridge a gap and reach out more to patients. But certainly during that time with COVID, a little less so now, it was really restrictive as far as being able to see and treat patients.
Now, that actually was my last question. Was there anything else you wanted to add about sort of the current state of thyroid eye disease treatment or whether or not there might be a newcomer to add to Tepezza in the landscape of treatment algorithms?
Yeah, so I think that it's an exciting time in this field for physicians who've seen so little progress for so many years. And we're just kind of beginning to understand just how far and wide this may really affect treatment. And so I think it is a very exciting time and something that we're really looking forward to. So, I think we're still just learning how far teprotumumab may reach as far as treatment for patients. And so I think that at this point in time, that's been the most exciting development in the last 20 or 30 years. So I think we're still exploring that, all the possibilities.
Thank you for that. And that was it on my questions. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today, Dr. Douglas. I appreciate it.
You bet, Patrick. Thank you very much.
Yeah, have a good one.
That's it for this episode of the Endocrine Outlook. I'm Patrick Campbell, senior editor of the Endocrinology Network. Thank you for listening.